Cigars International is the ultimate destination for premium handmade cigars. Visit www.cigarsinternational.com/TFLtruck or use code TFLtruck at checkout for 20% off plus free shipping on your entire order. Known as the industry leader, Cigars International offers the largest selection, unbeatable prices, and a customer service experience that is second to none. One of the best things I can think of as someone who enjoys a good cigar is spring, summertime, being able to hang out with my friends on the deck or even go camping and have a few stogies while enjoying the outdoors and the warm weather. It is one of my favorite things. Cigars International offers unbeatable deals and discounts, making it easy to stock up on your favorites or try something new without breaking the bank. Visit www.cigarsinternational.com/TFLtruck or use the code TFLtruck at checkout for 20% off plus free shipping on your entire order.
At Ritual, Mother's Day is kind of a big deal, and we're celebrating accordingly. Find your ritual. If mom needs a bit of stress relief, digestive support, or is looking to support glowy, smooth skin, do it today with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
We have a super cool episode of TFL Talking Trucks because I have a very special guest.
That's me. I'm Jan.
It's Jan. Jan is here. So you are a co-star of a podcast show named Car-ish.
Car-ish, yeah. Yes. A lot of car, a little bit ish.
Yes. Of course, we work at TFL. All of us work at TFL. But Car-ish is a podcast that's separate to our car podcast.
Yeah.
And separate from our truck podcast, which is what this is. But it's super fun. It plays, what, every other Wednesday?
Yeah, every other Wednesday.
All right. And I just listened to the previous episode. And I loved it. I wish only, if I had one wish.
Yes.
I would wish to have as much fun as you guys have.
We do seem to have a lot of fun.
On Car-ish.
There is a lot of laughter. Yeah. It's like bar talk.
So if you haven't listened to Car-ish, please, I urge you to check it out either on YouTube, TFL Talk, mm-hmm. or on anywhere podcasts.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Spread around. So I just got back, actually. I just came back late last night from an expedition.
You were on an expedition.
Well, actually, I was on an expedition for the expedition trip.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't like a safari or something.
Oh, I wish it was a safari. But actually, so Ford is launching the 2025 Ford Expedition SUV, and they invited a bunch of journalists. They had like four different waves of this event, and to Kentucky.
Oh, nice. How was that?
But why Kentucky?
Well, is that that's where the plant is, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's actually where they built in Louisville, Kentucky. That's where Ford builds not just the Expedition and also its brother, the Lincoln Navigator, mm-hmm. but also not all, but probably most Ford Super Duty heavy-duty trucks are built at the same plant.
So did you get to go through everything?
I did, yeah. So they gave us a plant tour. So if you're watching this on our TFL Talk channel, you could also see some images and a couple of videos. Have you ever done an automotive manufacturing tour?
I have, yeah.
Which one did you see?
It was Tesla when I worked there.
Oh, yeah. Which one? Which factory were you at?
Costa Mesa.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I've never been to a Tesla plant before. I've seen several. I've seen, we're showing you a clip that I want to talk about, but I just wanted to say that I've seen like a Hyundai plant in Alabama. I've seen the Rouge plant, the Ford in Michigan. Mm. I've seen a San Antonio plant, Toyota, where the Tundras are built.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah, so, and actually, a lot of manufacturers are kind of different about their plant tours. Some of them have like publicly accessible tours where you could sign up and maybe pay a few dollars and actually see a plant. Some of them never invite public in.
Private.
And then, for example, Toyota was pretty protective of their plant tour. So I couldn't get a lot of video from there. But actually Ford and this truck plant, they were kind of open.
Really?
I mean, they gave some rules, you know, some borders.
Yeah, some boundaries.
Some boundaries, but they allowed us to film actually in a few places, which was really cool.
Nothing to hide.
Almost nothing to
hide. Yeah, well, that's nice.
Yeah. But I think, so I want to talk about a couple of things that I saw. First of all, this plant's been around, I believe they said, since the late 60s.
Oh, wow.
In Kentucky. It used to build semi-trucks, big trucks. You know, well, Ford semi-trucks don't exist anymore.
No.
But, you know, bachelor pad, my dear 1976 F600.
Oh, what a beaut.
Was built at the same factory.
Really?
Yes.
No kidding.
Yes.
That's awesome.
He was born there. So I got to see. This was super special.
That's so cool.
Maybe Cole can pull up a picture of my F600 that I bought.
Not your bachelor pad.
No, I'm not a bachelor. His name is Bachelor Pad. But he's a 1976 F600 4x4 heavy duty. And basically like a medium duty truck, very big truck.
Yeah.
And it was so special. Like, I did not plan this. I did not plan to buy this truck at an auction. I did not plan to, you know, potentially see the factory where he was built.
It all just kind of worked out. In line, too.
I am thinking it's like some divine intervention.
The universe.
My good friend Dan, who is a truck driver, calls me when I was in Louisville, Kentucky. Just wait for this. After dinner, I get a message. It's from Dan. He's like, can you talk? I'm like, yeah, I can talk. So he calls me and he says, I'm carrying a load towards Louisville, Kentucky. I'm like, what? I'm in Louisville, Kentucky
right now. Did he know you were there?
No, he had no idea. He's like, I'm like, well, why are you calling me? He's like, I picked up a part for your project truck, the F600.
Nuh-uh.
Yes. So because, you know, it's leaking fuel.
Yeah.
So he picked me a new intake system. He found it on Facebook.
And he just went and picked it up?
Well, it was on his route. It was near his route.
Wow. That is the universe telling you this is the right choice.
The universe is speaking out.
And the bachelor pad is so much bigger than it looks in pictures because, like, I'm as tall as, like, the top of the hood.
Yeah.
This thing is massive.
And, yeah, and that makes it, like, working on the engine. Well, look at me standing next to it, too. Yeah. Like, I barely see over the hood. So working on the engine, you have to have, like, a ladder, you know, to climb in there.
It's very humbling.
But also there's a lot of room inside the engine bay of this old truck, so you can actually put your entire body inside.
Yeah, you can sit in there.
Yeah, that's you can sit in there and actually wrench on your engine.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's supposed to be,
exactly.
Right?
Nowadays, everything's so cramped with covers and computers, you can barely get your hands in anything.
Exactly. So anyway, I saw the birthplace of my project truck. That was really cool.
That's special.
So, Cole, if you can go back to some of the clips, especially the one with, like, this one. So Ford showed us this little station that you see right now. And you see that big light kind of in the background?
Yeah.
Basically, there is a little station there, and they have several of them across the factory where they have these phone cameras. Monitoring the production line, you could see some of this video right now.
Wow.
And they're using this fancy AI software to recognize faults. So, and these cameras are mainly what, if you're just listening to us, basically what's happening right now is like a naked body of an SUV is going down the line. And it doesn't have any glass in it, just wiring inside.
Mm-hmm. Just the carcass.
Just basically the body in white, they call it. Just kind of the carcass of the body. And also you could see inside of it because there's no interior.
Right.
It's just basically a naked body. And these cameras are looking in to see each electrical connection inside.
That is remarkable.
Yeah. So, and basically they're looking for faults where something is not plugged in.
Uh-huh.
you know, if it's not fully plugged in or if it's missing. So, and they can alert the workers there if something is wrong.
Yeah, because chasing a loose electrical connection after it's already been built is a nightmare.
Yeah, you never want to do anything like that. So, and I think, of course, partially, we were visiting this plant, you know, as a group of journalists because, you know, Ford wanted to, you know, make sure everybody knows they built a lot of vehicles in the United States.
Yeah.
And this plant, like I said, was built, I think opened in 69 or something like that. And since 2009, they've been building expeditions there. But can you believe the complexity? Because on the same line, and I think Cole can show you, there is an F-350 dually going down this factory line, followed by a Ford Expedition, followed by any other random F-350.
So completely different.
Completely random, but on the same line.
That is
so
bizarre.
If you can see.
Because you would think it would be all the same model.
Same model, right? Mm-hmm. Or sometimes there are two models that are built on the same
line. Right, but not numerous.
But we're talking about completely different vehicles going down the same line. So there'll be like a Navigator followed by an Expedition, followed by a F-250 Tremor, followed by a dually.
That sounds so bizarre.
Can you imagine the complexity
that exactly. brings in? Wow.
Yeah, check it out. Yeah, so that's kind of why I'm wowed usually when I'm in a place like this because everything seems calm. Mm-hmm. I mean, the factory was active.
Yeah.
It was pretty loud in there.
I bet.
But people are working in a calm way. You know, there's no rushing. There's no running around, you know, installing different parts. I wonder what happened with your tour when you were touring a Tesla.
I didn't do a full tour. I was there for work, but they gave me a little mini peek. And it was in the section where they were building seats. So there was just hundreds and hundreds of seats everywhere.
So you didn't see like full cars.
I didn't get that section.
You saw components of them. Yeah, and that's an important point because even though we saw where the Expedition is being assembled and the Super Duties, for example, a lot of the engines. So all the diesel engines come from Mexico, actually. So the supply chain is very complex, right? Maybe some of the dashboards come from somewhere else.
Right.
The seats are coming from some, you know, other places. Mm-hmm. The engines may come from other countries. So it's quite a complex organization.
The whole ordeal. Yeah.
Yeah. And I published a video already, but we can't quite talk about exactly how it drives.
Some secrets still.
Well, because it's embargoed, right? Yeah. Because they have more... more journalists still driving these expeditions. So they want to be fair to everybody.
Give everyone a chance. That's
right.
Fair.
So that was pretty neat. And I'm so happy. You know, it's kind of hard to do a video about a plant tour.
Yeah. That was going to be one of my questions.
You never know, like, if it's going to be popular. Mm-hmm. Do you think it would be?
Well, I think it also depends on what car manufacturer it is. Like, I'll be going to the Hyundai plant in Georgia
in
a couple weeks.
Where the Ioniq 9 is being built? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. So I'll be reviewing that. I don't know how many people are going to be super, you know, interested in Hyundai.
I'm curious about what they will allow you to film versus not.
Right.
Because there's competitive advantage in a lot of those things.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. But that is remarkable. Just in the fact that they have so many different models in line on the same line.
Yeah.
That just seems like it would be a recipe for a disaster. But if they're making it work, that's even more remarkable.
And this is nothing like tremendously new. I think the Hyundai plant I went to almost 10 years ago, I think they built the Sonata and the Elantra. Mm-hmm. So sedans of a couple different sizes on the same line.
Yeah.
Toyota used to build the Tacoma and the Tundra on the same line. Now they don't. They now build the Sequoia and the Tundra on the same line.
Oh, okay.
But they share a lot of components like hoods, you know, interior dashboards, that type of stuff.
Right.
But seeing a dually next to an SUV.
No, that's very odd.
That's
very safe. Apples to oranges.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, so that was kind of a cool event. We also did some off-roading.
Oh, really?
In Kentucky.
Was it like mudding?
Yes. And I actually, maybe this is a good segue because you went on a trip to Arizona, which was an off-road trip.
Yeah, for Nissan.
With trucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With Nissan. And I wanted to ask you, because I wasn't there and I was a little bit jealous that you went.
Yeah, because I think I had a better time than you had with the Frontier Pro 4X.
So tell me a little bit about, so you compared the Armada and the Frontier, right?
Yeah, both Pro 4X. The first time we got the Armada with the Pro 4X trim, and it was pretty rugged. What was difficult to show on camera is because it was so capable, it looked like, you know, my Civic could do that, right?
That's the challenge usually with off-roading, right?
So it's like, what do I do? Do I just, you know, not use all of the tools that I have to my advantage and then show it failing before I can show that it can make it up? But, I mean, I just want to show that it's cruising. And it was certainly not like the most difficult lines and everything, but a lot of it wasn't just super, super easy. And
I could
everything
see
just,
there's a steep decline.
Oh yeah,
you're going down right now.
There was a lot of teetering, and I was really impressed with everything, especially these camera systems on the Armada where they show you what's underneath. Yep, right there. That was super helpful. Always helpful, especially when you're off roading because you don't know if you're going to be going over something that's going to smash into your diff or anything like that. I was very impressed with how everything performed.
And this was outside of Scottsdale, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see it, and I'm really familiar with this type of terrain. You see some saguaro cactus,
yep.
You see sharp rocks.
Yeah.
There's zero water.
There's definitely no water around.
This is very dry.
Yeah.
So you also did a little bit of off-roading near Chicago in Illinois, right?
Yeah, but I mean, that's flat.
That's usually like muddy stuff.
Yes,
usually, right?
Exactly. So definitely nothing like this or what we've done, you know, at Ironclads or anything. But it was more so like, you know, mudding.
So we did something similar. And we're just talking about the Armada Pro 4X there. Ford's answer to that is the new Expedition Tremor edition.
Yes.
So and before they had a different trim level called the Timberline. And when we first were talking about this on our podcast shows and other videos, I didn't quite understand because Ford had so many different lines across their company.
Yeah.
Like they have the Tremor, they have the Raptor. Then there was a Timberline. They also had like F-150 Rattler edition. I don't know if you remember
oh,
this.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, can they simplify it? And they did.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were listening to our podcast or
maybe
not.
Maybe
they were. I would like to think that.
Yeah.
But now the Timberline edition is gone, and now it's the Tremor, which is also basically a big three-row SUV that's based on an F-150.
Mm-hmm.
And the Armada is basically built on a frame that was underneath the Titan truck, basically,
right.
Truck-based. And they both have big tires, big, you know, off-road tires, about 33s on both of them. And they're both almost cost the same.
What size wheels were on the Expedition? Because I wasn't too happy with the size wheels that were on the Armada. I would have liked to see something a little smaller.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Because mm-hmm.
The Armada has the 20s
yeah.
with kind of a skinny profile.
It's not terrible, but if it's a trim that's geared towards off-roading, give me like 18s with some
yes.
decent sidewall. You know what I mean?
I think the Tremor Expedition has an 18-inch wheel.
That's perfect.
So that's a little bit better.
Yeah.
Cole, do you mind? Can you verify that really quick? 2025 Ford Expedition Tremor wheel size. Just wanted to double check that.
18s.
18s. Yeah.
Nice.
So yeah. So I think you nailed it there because.
Mm-hmm.
That means you can also air them down a little bit more.
Right, got a little more.
And then you have a little bit of, you know, just cushion there.
Right, exactly.
And then what happened in the Frontier? Because you also had the Frontier Pro 4X.
Frontier, so it was, they both, I thought, did very well. Different experiences, of course, because the Armada was a little more plush, a little more luxurious, had, you know, air suspension, everything. Frontier was a little more stocky, you know, but he still crushed it through everything that we went through. Again, it wasn't, you know, the most difficult lines that I've ever seen, but they certainly weren't super, super easy. And I was pretty impressed with it.
Yeah. So I don't know if I drove the latest 2025 off-road yet, but many other Pro4X Frontiers, and also towed trailers with them. Mm-hmm. And the thing I always say is, like, it's just an honest pickup truck that's not afraid of working.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
no.
Just like, you know, he's like, just give me another job, right?
He's a working man truck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I completely agree. It wasn't all about the flash and everything. It was, you know, maybe a little simplified and everything, but that's kind of what I would want with a truck like that.
That's what trucks are about.
Right.
And it has a V6 non-turbo engine, mm-hmm. where everybody's like, you know, downsizing their engine displacements and turbocharging their engines. Nissan still stays with a V6.
Yeah, and those zero gravity seats were actually pretty comfortable too.
And that's a cool name too.
Yeah, zero gravity.
Zero gravity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As if you're in space.
That's what I felt like.
Yeah.
Just floating.
No, they are. And also they have the Fender stereo systems, which are pretty mm-hmm. sweet.
Yeah,
in their Frontiers.
I was pretty happy with everything.
Yeah, and then we also, so I did go into the mud in Kentucky.
Okay.
This is pretty unique. Like I said, I can't really talk about this because it's kind of driving.
Oh, right.
Driving impression based.
But soon.
Just in a couple of days, a few days.
Okay.
But what we don't get here in Colorado, like sometimes snow melts and we have some water puddles that we can drive through.
Barely.
But mud is kind of very thin.
Yeah.
We're talking about just
thick,
goopy mm-hmm. mud that's, sometimes 2 feet deep.
Yeah.
And that's really, you have to have some speed.
That's the type of stuff that I was used to back home in Illinois, where you were stuck up to the bottom of the doors and then you had to get rescued.
Yeah.
So
you have to,
we don't have
know.
That out here.
No, we don't have, I mean, we have pointy rocks. Those are problems.
Completely different scenarios.
Problems.
Yes, different problems.
But also I noticed in Kentucky is that, you know, you're going through this deep mud, but some of it is hiding a rock.
See, that's scary.
And it's almost like off-roading in the snow.
Right.
Because snow makes it slippery and also hides obstacles from
you.
Oh,
yeah.
Right? So that's pretty scary.
Yikes.
And that's all I'm going to say. Because I can't...
Stay tuned
can't
for more.
I can't divulge everything. So the next piece of news, recently, just a few days ago, Ram announced a new trim level for their Ram 1500 trucks.
The Express. Yes.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool. This is for 2026 year, model year. And basically what it is, it's a little bit more affordable way to get a kind of a cool truck.
Finally.
Yes.
Truck prices, prices in general for automobiles is just insane. So if there is ever a chance to get something a little more affordable, I'm all for it.
Yeah, and Cole, I don't know if you can scroll a little bit through this news as far as kind of some of the data. I just wanted to mention the starting price. So Ram was communicating this. So starting price for this crew cab, no, I think it's a quad cab actually.
Oh, okay.
Quad cab pickup truck. $44,495 for this Ram 1500.
No way.
So, well, it's hard. It's really hard because saying $44,000, it sounds like a lot, but not for these days.
No.
You know what
I'm
saying?
I mean, the average price of a new car nowadays is around $48,000, $50,000, which is still insane. But if you're coming underneath that and it's a truck, usually trucks are more expensive. That is impressive. It's still a ton of money, but that's just kind of how the cookie crumbles.
Yeah, and if you look at the story a little bit deeper, for example, their Hurricane engine, the 420 horsepower engine, is only about $1,695 option. So for $1,700, you're jumping into, you know, a very powerful option.
Oh yeah,
for that truck.
That's an affordable option.
Yeah. And of course, prices only can go up from there.
Then they will.
Yeah, they will. But it's kind of a cool name, right? The Express.
Yeah.
It's a name that actually they've had for decades. There's another image as Cole goes through it. I think there's a 1939. I don't know. I think we have a. I don't know if we have that original truck. But that name goes back decades.
And they're bringing
really
it
love,
back.
I really love how manufacturers sometimes can bring back.
Yeah.
Something from the past.
It's important.
Yeah, look at this.
Oh, beautiful.
Look at that Express.
Look at that babe.
So that's, I think it's a 39. And it's just a two-door, very simple, almost like a tractor, right?
Yeah.
But still beautiful. Look at that.
Absolutely.
Those lines.
Oh, yeah. It's like a little Coke bottle.
Yeah, those big, you know, round headlamps on the big fenders.
The fenders. Oh, yeah.
So I kind of love when manufacturers are kind of dipping into their heritage.
Yeah.
And this is the interior of the new Express, so it's actually pretty well appointed.
Yeah, it looks like a no screen in the passenger dash, which
is
actually
great.
Like, you know, especially if you do get a little cubby in there. I think that is more useful than another screen, to be honest.
Yeah, remember our RHO trip?
How could I forget?
Yes, that was awesome. After racing them in the desert on the dry lake bed,
Johnson Valley.
We drove it through Moab to Denver, and that was a luxurious truck.
That was, because it had massaging seats and, you know, heated ventilation seats, all of the screens, you know, super, super comfy. But how often did we use that passenger screen?
I think once when I asked you to use it.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I would have rather had a cubby for, you know, my snacks.
Yeah, exactly. I think the only time that screen was useful was in the evening when we were driving to Moab. And you could, because that screen kind of reflects
it does.
Some lights.
Yeah, but you can't see it from the driver's point of view, which is nice.
Right. But I think what was cool, maybe what would be cooler, like if you could do more functions on that screen.
Yeah.
Maybe plan a trip or something.
It was helpful because, you know, I could look up a different
location
yeah. on the maps. So there was some benefits. Would I need it? No. But
exactly.
This looks nice.
Yeah. And this basically we were looking at the Ram 1500 interior, but this one does have a big console.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the Ram trucks, actually I saw one at the dealership recently, they still have offer for a bench seat, basically
awesome.
With a folding
yes.
middle seat.
Love that. Love
it's
that option.
It's not something that you could maybe go long distance in. You know, because you're kind of squished between the driver and the passenger.
Yeah, you wouldn't want that.
But for a short trip, you know, I always say, like, going to a baseball game or 4th of July.
Well, think about, like, an old 72 C10 with a bench seat. That is a romantic – that's, like, my favorite truck ever. I think that's a romantic truck. You know, you're driving,
because
you got your arm around your partner.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where it's at. Maybe not in the newer trucks, but I think there's a time and a place for a bench seat.
By the way, I went to a baseball game in Louisville.
Really? Mm-hmm. Louisville. You got to say it with like marbles
sorry,
in your mouth.
Sorry, Louisville.
Louisville. Yeah, Louisville. There you go.
It was the Louisville Bats.
Oh, how was it?
It was a very great atmosphere.
Okay.
So I wanted to ask you, because you play softball, right?
Yep.
We were quizzing each other. You know, all the journalists were there watching this game. And basically none of us said we watch baseball on TV.
Oh, no.
But everybody loved being there in person.
Yeah, it's a vibe for sure.
Yeah.
Baseball can be excruciatingly slow to watch on TV. I admit I love watching it because I know what's going on, you know? But, no. Typically, baseball is really hard to watch on TV.
Yeah, but this setting was in Louisville,
mm-hmm.
which means you have the river. You can kind of – you're in the
yes.
little state. By the way, this is AAA, so this is not MLB.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is not – so – but nonetheless, you're sitting in this really beautiful stadium.
Mm-hmm.
You're overlooking the river. There is a bridge. You could see some buildings in the background. It was such a nice day, too. It was, like, not too hot, not too cold.
See, for me, there's so much around, you know, baseball. It's the smell of the grass, the crack of the bats, the cheering, the camaraderie, the, you know, the angry talk between teams. Like, there's so much to it, more than just the game, and I'm sure you experienced that, too.
Yeah, and I agree. So, and I usually don't follow baseball because there's so many games.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get on board sometimes. And also I've lived in Denver area for the last 33 years. So all of my sport teams are Colorado based.
And it's the Rockies.
So I'm the Rockies fan. I'm the Avalanche fan. I'm the Nuggets fan. I'm a Bronco fan. I'm a Rapids fan. But the Rockies they're fighting to the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
See, I'm still happy with my cubbies, so.
See, okay.
Can't complain.
So when the cubbies come into town.
Then I'll be at the Rockies
game. There you go. All right, so I wanted to give one more rapid-fire news update, and then I want to switch to a little bit of Q&A.
Cool.
Basically, questions that are arriving from our viewers.
Yeah.
And by the way, you could also ask us questions if you support us on patreon.com/TFLCar. We check that, you know, site very frequently.
Right.
So you can do that. So the last piece of news has to do with a recall of the 6.2 liter V8 in the GM trucks.
Oh, no.
And this has been huge news in everywhere, basically, because it's involving potentially a lot of vehicles.
Yikes.
So we're talking about between 2021 and 2024. And it's only affecting the big engine, the 6.2 liter gasoline V8.
The big boy.
So the 5.3 is not involved in this.
Okay.
None of the other engines are involved. But this engine they put into, Cole, if you could scroll a little bit more down, this involves the Escalades, the Silverado 1500s, the Tahoes, the Suburbans, Sierra 1500, Yukon, and Yukon XLs. And there's a lot of them. I think something like almost 600,000 potential vehicles involved.
Oh, no.
But they only confirmed over those 3-4 years, 14,332 failures. But these are big failures.
How big?
We're talking about the engine seizing.
That's not good,
so,
Andre.
So it's not like it was a misprinted label.
No. Yeah, there can definitely be different categories of a recall.
And usually, like, I don't like talking about recalls. You know, nobody likes talking about, you know, such big problems. But we have to in this case because it's affecting a lot of people and it's a pretty serious failure. And it has to do with some of the suppliers of the subcomponents, they said. But the update is that they said, you know, bring the trucks in if you already own one of those trucks. If they notice a problem, there's a couple things that could happen. Either it's not a big problem and they'll change your oil for you for free.
Okay.
Or you'll get a new engine.
Wow. So it's not just replacing a hose or a component.
No.
It's a whole new engine.
No, because it has to do with like the crankshaft. Connecting rods.
Man.
So you would have to go inside the engine. And I think it has to do with some of the actual parts, internal parts and the suppliers. And basically the supplier, maybe the metal wasn't up to specification.
Oh, no.
You know, something like this.
Yeah. Oh, that's rough.
Yeah. So that's the latest update. And the solution really, well, if you can live without your vehicle until the, you know, so the engine can be replaced, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But what if this is your only vehicle that you depend on?
I mean, I'm assuming, especially with a recall, that they would provide you with a loaner truck.
A loaner, I would hope.
I would hope, especially if this is a recall. But it is wild that you bring it in, it's either an oil change or an entire engine swap. That is like two ends of the spectrum.
There's a lot going on there. But also, if you've driven your truck for 2 to 3 years, all of a sudden you get a brand new engine and you're like,
okay. It ain't so bad.
All right.
Maybe it ain't so bad.
But what would be really bad is those 14,000 people, 14,332 people, who experience an engine failure while driving.
Oh, see, yeah. That's scary.
That's really scary because it's a safety issue. It's not just that your vehicle is broken. Imagine driving 65 miles an hour.
And then your engine's just off.
Yeah. The wheels could lock up. You could lose control of the vehicle. Many different things could happen.
That's terrifying. No deaths so far, so that's good. But still not ideal.
So anyway, that's the latest update. So potentially, and here's the issue. Because people actually, if we can go into these questions now.
Yeah.
Some people often ask us about the reliability.
Right.
And this is a very hard question, as you can see, because almost every manufacturer has pretty serious recalls. We talked about last year about Tundras.
Yeah.
Right? Their engines being recalled.
Right. Every manufacturer.
You almost can't win.
No. It's going to happen to every car manufacturer. It just depends on the severity of it and how they take care of it.
Exactly. And how soon
and how
forward they're being with it.
Like the Takata airbag recalls, it took forever for dealerships and service centers to be able to get those to perform those replacements. And now you're driving around with a possible faulty airbag.
Exactly, that's which is very good. Scary. As it explodes on your face, as it's your next accident.
Not ideal.
So what questions do we have?
Okay, well, we've got our first question from Mark. He wants to know which is the best HD for gas towing, specifically gas, not diesel.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I think if I remember right, this would be his only vehicle. And also, I love that Mark provided some detail.
Like
he says he currently has a 34-foot-long, 8,000-pound camping trailer that he's pulling with an F-150. But he wants to step up the size of the trailer
to a 37-foot, about 11,000 pounds, which is definitely going to put him in that HD category.
So it sounds like Mark is very savvy. So first of all, he understands that he's crossing a boundary, right?
Crossing a line.
Mark, what are you doing? Line. No. Like as soon as you start talking about over 10,000 pounds, 11,000 pounds, like Mark is talking about here, you really need to consider a heavy-duty truck.
Absolutely.
Because even though your F-150 may be rated for that, or another half-ton truck may be rated for that, that trailer is 37 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine what would happen in a windstorm as you're driving on a highway?
Oh, God, that thing's going.
Because, you know, this trailer will start swaying, your smaller, lighter truck may not be able to handle anything like
and
that.
And not to mention, maybe you can pull the trailer itself, but you're now at the limit of what your light-duty truck can pull. And on top of that, are you going to put anything in the trailer?
What about your family into
your
truck?
Your family, the clothes, your barbecue? Like, there's still stuff that's got to go in there. So it's not a good idea to just push the limit for stuff like that.
So first of all, that's really good that he's, watching this very, very closely. And he knows about... He talked about his payload here in this question, which is really good. So now the question comes, which truck, and also he would commute in this truck, right? So here's the other part of the question. And I love that he's providing details here because immediately when this question would have come in without detail, I would have recommended a diesel.
Right. Typically for
because
towing,
it would be more efficient to pull a trailer like that down the highway. Yes, it would cost you more to begin with,
right?
Because you have to invest that money into a diesel engine. But he says he makes lots of short trips during the week for work.
Not ideal for diesel.
Not ideal because here's what, and you know this like from Chicago and also living in Colorado, is like it takes a while for a diesel engine to warm up.
Yes.
So if you're driving 5 miles, that engine may still be cold.
Yeah, not great for short trips.
So now the question becomes, which one? So he's leaning towards a Chevy 2500 Silverado, and we actually own one in our fleet. We have a heavy-duty Trail Boss, Silverado 2500, which is an amazing... But once again, that's a diesel.
It's a diesel,
we own.
Right.
I would say, so the Ram, I just drove the 2025 Ram heavy-duty with a gas Hemi V8. I didn't pull a trailer with it, though. But it felt really, really cool. A lot of acceleration when it was unloaded.
Right.
It sounds great.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid that engine is a little bit underpowered compared to some others now.
Okay.
And I would say I would put that one on the side.
Oh, okay. So Ram on the side.
So Ram on the side.
Okay.
So now in my mind, because efficiency and camping trips are on his mind,
right.
on Mark's mind. Now it's between the gas 6.6 liter in the Chevy or GM versus the Ford is offering two engines, 6.8 liter or 7.3, the big boy V8 in the Ford. I've never pulled a trailer with 6.8, so I don't know exactly. It's a pretty good engine. I drove it in an empty truck.
Okay.
I would lean a little bit more towards Ford.
For why?
Thanks for asking. It's a very close call because both Ford and GM offer 10-speed automatics now.
Okay.
And I would recommend to Mark, if he wants to buy like a used truck, not a brand new one, the older 6-speeds in the Chevy gas engines trucks, wasn't a good match for the engine. It was an older transmission that was around for a couple of years. So I would watch out for that. Okay. I would stay away from that. I would focus on the 10-speed. That's latest. That's the latest transmission. It offers a lot more gear ratios, obviously, and a better experience. And it's quicker and also more efficient. And the Ford also has a 10-speed. But the Ford 7.3 has more power.
7.3. Yeah.
That's for why.
That's for why.
For why?
Well, that's for why. Now but, you know, Mark.
But Mark is also conscious about price, and that's up to you, Mark. So if you can find a deal on the big 7.3 gas, maybe jump on it. If you can't find a deal, maybe jump on a Chevy.
Yeah. So it comes down to price in the end.
I think so.
Okay.
But I think for as heavy as he's towing, and if he's going to go over mountains of any kind, I would say that's kind of where I am between Chevy and Ford.
Okay.
That's where I am.
Great. Well, let's move on to the next question.
Okay.
Jason wants to know if he has the worst F-150 for towing.
Oh, Jason.
Yeah. Yeah.
So so here's what happened with Jason. So Jason recently purchased a used truck, which is an F-150 2021 model. Mm-hmm. And Cole, can you pull up a 2021 Ford F-150 just for reference? This was a update. This was kind of a new generation of the truck.
Okay.
Which is not a bad thing. It's okay. The one he chose has a 2.7 liter V6, which is the EcoBoost, which is actually a pretty good engine. Because there's also a picture there, Cole, with it towing. His question is specifically about towing, right? And Jason was careful. Look, he writes down his rear axle ratios are 355. Mm-hmm. He knows like his gross vehicle weight ratings, and his payload is pretty good. He wrote it down 1,685 pounds. But then Ford is offering this little new tool, which is on their website. There's a tow guide where you could put your VIN into this little search box.
Okay.
And click enter, and basically what it does is kind of looks in their database at Ford and kind of spits out your towing rating.
Your real towing rating.
Yeah, for your specific truck.
Uh-huh.
Because it's sometimes very, very difficult to know, can I tow 8,000 or 7 or whatever with the particular truck. And you know what that spit out for him?
6,000 pounds.
It spit out 6,000 pounds for him, and he was surprised. I actually would be surprised a little bit too.
Yeah.
Because 6,000 pounds, like a Toyota Tacoma can pull 6,000 pounds.
Right. It's
most Ford Rangers are rated at 7,500 pounds. So that's why he's a little bit bummed. And he says, do I have the worst F-150 for towing? But Jason, I can tell you, you don't.
That's good.
There's worse. You can do worse. It
could be worse.
I'm trying. That was kind of
mean.
He's got a
good point. He says, I wish manufacturers would add to the door jam sticker the max tow ratings for the specific truck and its configuration. I think that is a very valid point.
And that's what GM started doing. Mm-hmm. But there's a caveat on that too.
No, tell me why.
Yes, yes. So everybody was so excited. In 2019, the Silverado 1500, the T1 generation came out. And it had that silver sticker in addition to the yellow sticker, right, where the payload.
Yep.
It has a silver sticker that talks about gross vehicle weight rating and maximum towing rating, and everybody went wild. I was one of these people.
Andre gone wild.
Well, and we're talking about just truck nerds for the most part.
Yes.
But then it turns out a year or so goes by, and we find out that it says for that particular configuration, that's your maximum towing. So like if you had four doors and four-wheel drive.
Short cab, long cab.
Long bed, short bed, whatever. That's what the sticker was talking about. The sticker wasn't talking about your VIN. It was telling you about the overall configuration of that vehicle.
Okay.
So in Jason's case, something similar is happening. Because if you look up the chart, you know, all manufacturers publish charts. And if you look up on his truck, his year, his engine, his rear axle, if you do all that matrix,
right,
you know, you look at the spreadsheet, and it will probably tell you his truck is rated at 7,500 pounds.
So he thinks he's got 7,500 pounds to play.
Yeah, but all of a sudden he finds out his particular van didn't have the maximum towing package, that didn't have the right radiator potentially, you know, that doesn't offer as much cooling.
What a bummer.
So, sorry, Jason. So first of all, thanks to Ford that actually providing a search tool.
Right.
So that's already a good step in the right direction. So people can actually look it up ahead of time. Jason wasn't able to look it up ahead of time, unfortunately. And he says this doesn't affect him badly. He's just worried about resale.
I see.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, the next person, does he have to disclose this to the
right
next person?
You know, that's a good point. That's a fair point.
So, gosh, Ram used to offer a tool like this too online where you would put your VIN and it would spit out information for you.
Okay.
But then there were some errors in that tool.
Oh.
Like it wasn't communicating the precise information for some reason.
That's a little alarming.
And they took that tool down.
Good.
Which is good. So they're fixing it.
Right.
This was about a year ago. GM prints it in the door, but it doesn't really apply to your exact VIN.
It doesn't translate to
your exact VIN. It gives you a guideline. So it gives you a little bit more of a guideline, which is good. But once again, you have to still be very careful how you choose how heavy you want to tow versus what truck you're buying.
That's a bummer.
Can we end on a good note?
Yeah. Yeah, we can. Well, we've got another question.
Okay.
We've got another question from Peter. He wants to know what the most efficient half ton would be for towing.
Wow, Peter. That's kind of a general question.
But specifically, the towing capacity, the MPG, and the reliability are mainly what he's concerned about.
Okay. So I'm seeing here that he's looking at the half ton truck, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he actually had two questions here. He's like, what if money was no object?
Oh, wow.
So he's going wild.
Yeah. Exciting.
Peter is jumping in with both feet here.
Yeah.
So when I saw this question first, and I saw that he really cared about MPG, because reliability, like I was saying, it's a really hard question because, you know, you can look at a percentage of recalls, you can look at different stuff, but really it's almost like a case-by-case basis.
Right.
When you're buying a truck, of course, if it's brand new, you're under warranty.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so you're mostly covered. Or also you're under Grandeur warranty, you know,
also
a little
great
plug, a tiny plug, grandurwarranty.com,
yep,
extended, factory-backed.
The best.
Yes. But two trucks came to mind when he said this.
What are they?
It's the turbo diesel GM.
Okay.
So the 3 liter, let's say GMC Duramax Sierra 1500.
Okay.
So that came to mind immediately because Case and I recently did a test, Denver 100.
I remember.
Where we pulled trailers.
Uh-huh.
And we found that Sierra was super efficient.
It was pretty remarkable.
Our producer Cole is trying. Oh, it's right there, 6.6 versus 3.0. Yeah. I think I got with a 5,000-pound trailer, which is big box trailers we were pulling.
Uh-huh.
We got something like 13.5 or 14 with that 3-liter turbo diesel.
That's not bad.
When you're talking about like pulling a sail like that behind you.
Yeah, it's huge. It's like a building.
So if you're trying to tow a camper on longer trips, I would definitely go for the 3-liter. It's been recently updated. It makes more power. They improved the reliability of that engine.
Mm-hmm.
People always talk about their timing belt on this engine. No, it's not a timing belt. It's the oil pump.
Oh, okay.
Oil pump is belt driven.
Okay.
But they extended the service interval to that.
Oh,
of that.
That's
recently.
Nice.
So they've improved that engine in the big ways. So the other option that Peter, I think, was referring to is a hybrid.
Okay.
But I have some bad news for towing with hybrid trucks.
Well, they're not very efficient.
They're not very hybrid-y.
No.
So by that, what I mean is I owned a F-150 hybrid for a couple of years. I pulled many trailers with specifically the boat when my wife and I go to the lake. And when you're pulling a boat, you know, fully loaded with all your camping gear, you're basically using gasoline always.
Yeah.
Because you need so much power that that little electric motor can't provide.
It's not doing
anything. So you're burning fuel.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, too, because the turbochargers are lit. You know, you're going down the highway. And that's what happens with the Tundra hybrid. That's what happens with an F-150 hybrid. And but it's amazing in the city.
Right. So if you're primarily towing in the city, that could be an option. But ideally, you're probably not.
Yeah. Or, I mean, I guess a city towing use case would be if you're like a contractor, right?
Yeah.
Pulling a little trailer from job site to
job site. That's fair.
I think a hybrid could make sense for you.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, F-150 hybrids are very nice as far as their efficiency in the city. I remember getting, without a trailer, about 26 in the city.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is a really
That's
good efficiency.
That's remarkable.
For a truck, a full-size vehicle like this.
Yeah.
But once again, when I drove to Albuquerque, unladen or with a trailer, it was like 10 mpg with a trailer. It was 21 without.
Okay.
So I wouldn't recommend a hybrid for pulling long distance, basically.
Okay. Well, now we know.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that was a show.
That was a show, yeah.
Yeah, that was a show.
I would call it a show.
I'm looking at our new clock in our studio.
It's very fancy.
Because we didn't have like a clock that was amazing, and now we do.
I kind of want to take it home. I like that.
So we really appreciate you sending questions.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there will be a show next week as well. And also, please listen to Karish.
If you want to laugh. If you don't want to laugh, don't listen to it. It's not for you.
And I love that it's Karish because like what you and I did today with the truck questions, because
mm-hmm.
we're going kind of deep into truck
for sure
territory here.
Yeah.
But Karish is car adjacent.
Yeah, it's car adjacent. Sometimes we talk about how Tommy has a lot of issues with seemingly kitchen appliances every week.
Mm.
And then we've got Mary. But Mary is slowly turning into more car and less ish.
So what happens when Mary becomes car?
We're going to have to end the podcast, I think, because we had a good run. And now it's just going to be the car podcast.
You would have to find a new ish person.
Right. We would have to find a new ish. But I just taught Mary how to learn how to drive manual.
Wait a minute. Is that published yet?
No, not yet. It's coming soon.
Can we talk about it? No, we can't.
It's coming soon, though.
We can't talk about this.
No.
First of all, can you wink if crying was involved? Can you give me any hints?
I cannot give you hints.
Tough. She's tough.
We'll just have to find out.
So we'll have to stay tuned. So wait a minute. So Mary has never driven a stick or never learned how to drive a stick.
No.
And you were teaching her how to drive a stick.
Yeah. I've taught tons of people. So I was happy to be able to teach Mary as well.
Can you teach my daughter?
I would love
next?
To.
Okay.
You know, how about she should watch the video when it uploads and see if she would like me as a teacher.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah, okay.
That's, you know, a little resume.
Exactly, build it up a little bit.
Yeah, build it up and see if Jen is a good teacher. And if Jen is a good teacher, then, yeah.
Good work.
Okay, that's really cool. We also have a video coming up on truck where there's a really cool camping trailer that I just reviewed.
Oh.
It's called the Fusion by Lifestyle Campers.
Oh.
Sorry, I forgot about the Lifestyle. the Fusion by Lifestyle Campers, this is an Australian company.
Oh, cool.
And I have so much respect for Australian, you know, camping companies or trucking companies
mm-hmm.
because their environment is pretty rough.
Hardcore.
Yeah. I was there. I was so fortunate. I was in Australia. I visited once several years back. And I could feel, first of all, the culture seemed similar to like US.
It's adjacent, yeah.
It's adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they speak English, which is amazing. Just different accent than mine.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw a lot of pickup trucks, a lot of campers, I saw 6x6 pickup trucks driving around. I mean, it seemed like very like-minded people.
Right.
To what we see here in Colorado, for example.
But their environment, their terrain is just way more hardcore than
what we do here. Well, because it's hotter in many regions. And plus, many regions are remote. You know, you'd be driving into the outback and there is no services. There's nothing.
Ain't nothing.
Yeah. Just kangaroo, you know, just jumping. Yeah. So, by the way, I saw so many signs. You know how here we have deer signs?
Yeah.
Watch out for deer.
Kangaroo crossings?
They have kangaroo crossings.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was
neat.
Did
you see a bunch of kangaroos?
No. But I got scared once because I was at the hotel room acclimating to the time change.
Oh, right. Big time change.
So I was really jet lagged. Uh-huh. And I saw what looked like a giant eagle. That was my first thought. Fly by my window. And this bird, seemingly a bird, flew by. And he went into a tree in the parking lot of the hotel, and I saw him land on a branch, and then he went upside down. He was hanging upside down. Then I realized it was a flying fox.
Oh.
Also known as fruit bat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this thing was like the size of a bald eagle.
No.
And it scared me a lot.
It is remarkable how giant they can be.
Yeah.
And they just have completely different animals over there altogether.
Yeah, but also I realized it was a fruit bat because they don't eat meat. Like if this was a vampire that could like latch onto your neck and like drain all the blood, that would be one thing. But these are like cuddly little...
Just a sweet little babe.
Yeah, little... You know, they have like fox faces.
Yeah.
Little tiny foxes.
So they weren't scary looking?
Well, once I acclimated to it, at first I freaked out. I was like, why is that eagle going upside down?
Also, they are just huge.
Yes, they're very big.
Massive.
So I had an experience with that. I did not experience a lot of kangaroo crossings.
That's unfortunate.
I was lucky.
Oh.
Well, I was lucky because I don't want to hit one on a highway.
No, I suppose you don't want to hit one.
But I do want to see them. I just don't want to see them in my grill.
On the side of the road. That's where you want to see them.
I didn't want to see them in the middle of my grill. So...
Well,
there you go. So stay tuned for all of that. Australian campers, Mary learning how to drive a stick.
Expedition.
Ford Expedition, off-road and on-road. Mm-hmm.
Andre's expedition for the expedition.
Yeah, for the Ford Expedition, my Kentucky excursion. No.
No.
No, my Kentucky trip.
Yeah.
Let's say that.
Well, we can say that. That's easier.
All right. Thanks for joining us as always, and we'll see you next time.
At Ritual, Mother's Day is kind of a big deal, and we're celebrating accordingly. Find your ritual. If mom needs a bit of stress relief, digestive support, or is looking to support glowy, smooth skin, do it today with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.